Welcome to our Roughing the Passer podcast every Monday. I'm Pete Prisco with Brady Quinn and Pat Kerwin, and let's jump right into it and talk about Odell Beckham Jr.
Please do.
I mean, to me, this looked like a man who lost his mind on the football field, and he was completely out of control.
He looked like a child who lost his mind. It was a tantrum, it was absurd, and he should have been thrown out of the game, and he should be suspended. And if you don't send that message, Brady, you've been in this game, you're on the field, there's a lot of guys are going to look at that. If that is not disciplined properly, we're going to have more cases of that, and they're going to say, you didn't do anything to Odell.
Yeah, it's setting the precedence, right? And on top of it, you know where I have an issue with this is, look, there's going to be fighting and scrapping and all that going on throughout the course of a game, especially with a heated rivalry like this one between, you know, one of the best corners, or maybe the best corner this year in the game, and one of the best wide receivers. But it was the shot he took, the helmet to helmet on Josh Norman, that had nothing to do with the play. It, you know, and with all this buzz right now about concussions, there's a movie coming out. People keep talking about player safety, how they really care about the players, trying to protect them. There's not a chance in the world Roger Goodell was not aware of what was going on in that football game. And if he didn't find a way of communicating to the officials to kick him out right away, then he obviously doesn't care enough about player safety, because that was as blatant as it gets of a cheap shot. It was directly into the side of Josh Norman's head. I don't know if there's any more of an exclamation point on a cheap play, head injury, and all that combined into one. I mean, that will forever be seen as one of the plays that got away from an officiating crew where a guy should have been kicked out and wasn't. And that's where I'm bothered by it, because now we start talking about player safety, and clearly there's not either enough emphasis with the officials of allowing that to happen, or maybe they wanted it to go on. Maybe the ratings were so high for the game, they wanted to continue to, that fight to keep prevailing, to see how far they could take
it. Let me ask you this. You, as a player, when you guys, and you weren't a defensive player, but you're a quarterback, when a defensive player knows that something can get under the skin of a player, don't they go right back to it and constantly bring, like, if I'm playing Odell Beckham now and I'm a defensive back and I know he's got this great advantage on me from a physical standpoint, a talent standpoint, don't I try and get under his skin right now? Isn't that what you do?
That's what the Minnesota Vikings are going to do next week. And everyone else who plays against Odell Beckham Jr. will start trash talking. They'll start looking up stuff on his Twitter page or social media, find out, you know, a girlfriend or something else, things that can get under his skin. You better believe. I mean, look, guys talk about in the NBA doing it all the time. Some of the best trash talkers are some of the best players. Maybe that's part of the reason why Josh Norman's been so successful this season. Maybe he understands when to hit the right buttons and how to hit the right buttons, both mentally and physically.
Well, he's a champion trash talker now, because he was mic'd up 2 weeks ago on NFL Films. He's really good at trash talking. What's that, Pat?
Well, trash talking's fine. It's been going on since the history of football. But what happened in this case, I really want to go back to Brady's point about the commissioner. This league has set this up so Dean Blandino, which would be the communication vehicle that the commissioner could use, they've been very clear. They're not going to interfere with the game. They have never overruled a call. And basically, you're in the area of overruling a call. I think it's going to be worse for the Giants if he is disciplined with a one-game suspension this week. Because if that's worse than missing the end of that game before, they lost that game. Right now, the playoffs are on the line. So I don't know that the commissioner, and this is the problem I have with the officials, because this to me is an officials problem. The players want to lose their cool. Great. I would not be penalizing Josh Norman for what happened. And then what Odell did after all that was done, for him to step over the guy on his touchdown and stomp his foot down, that just told me he has still not learned a thing. So I think Roger Goodell will invoke the power of the commissioner this morning and do the right thing, I hope.
Hey, Pat, but that brings up an interesting point, because you're talking about Dean Blandino not overruling or changing any of the calls, but he will have more control come playoff time.
Well, he's not going to. Really, to tell you the truth, all he's going to do is make sure that it's third down instead of second down, that the ball's spotted in the right place. I've asked him. They're not going to call down and overrule a bad call. So we all got our hopes up that the playoffs are going to be better. They're not going to be better. It's going to look the same to the average fan, like, why is that injustice still on the field? I thought they were going to fix that. They're not going to.
You know, the Beckham's tantrums and the way he played the entire game got me to thinking about players who have basically lost their minds on the field. And Brady, you played, so you had to actually have seen some guy just totally lose his marbles on the field.
I've honestly never seen anything like that, though.
Like,
I mean,
remember when Kyle Turley lost his marbles on the field that one day?
Yeah,
remember?
They throw their helmet and all that. I mean, I've seen stuff in practice where guys have gotten in fights so vicious, and I'm not going to name names, but one guy who could arguably be a Hall of Fame player, and another guy who was just an offensive lineman that felt disrespected. And this fight in particular went on in practice. It was hard to kind of separate the two. And then it ended up going into the locker room where all of a sudden they were like, no, they need to go outside and settle this in the parking lot. And that's where it got settled, with one guy hitting the ground and needing some dental work, and the other guy basically kind of carrying
names!
On.
I want names!
I can't give names, man. That's not how this works. Yeah. But
that's a great story. I love that.
Yeah, but anyways.
It's dangerous, though.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me, like, you talk about guys losing their heads. I think of all of sports now, right? And I think of, like, Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield and him biting his ear. I mean, just a guy who is completely unraveled. And in this case, it was crazy just how they allowed it to go on. And I honestly think that people should realize that they've played a part in building this ego for Odell Beckham Jr. to the point where he got so frustrated and so upset by what was happening in the first half, him not having any catches, no production.
Drops
and all that, it literally, I think that's part of the freakout, is he just doesn't have any humility right now, considering how well he's played, considering what he's done in the first 2 years, playing for the New York Giants. Everyone's built him up to be this ridiculous figure that he's bought into it now, to the point where when this kind of stuff happens, he gets so frustrated, he mentally just took himself out of the game.
He looked like a baby. He looked like the kid, and we all knew this kid. I'm not playing anymore, and I'm taking my ball, and I'm going home. That's what he looked like on Sunday. He looked like a baby. And you know, Pat, you've been around the league since leather helmets, so I'll ask you, do you remember any tantrums like this? I mean, do you remember?
I'll give you one example. And I think it was dealt with a suspension. And I think it might have been a club suspension. Steve Smith Sr. took his helmet off and whacked a teammate with it in practice. Do you remember that?
That's right. He did.
Yeah. He took his own helmet off. He was so furious with a teammate at practice. And I think the guy, I don't want to make sure. I think the guy was taking a knee. And he just delivered his helmet right to him.
But, I mean, when Albert Haynesworth stomped on the center with Andre Girard, he lost his marbles in that game. We've seen Sue at times lose his. But this was bigger. This wasn't more than just like a shot or a hit. This was ongoing. It was like a half temper tantrum is what it was.
Josh Norman said it best. He said, I was away from the play, and Odell decided to go hunting. Because that's what it was. He went after him. And launched. He should be done for this Sunday.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he should be suspended. But you know what, Pat? You mentioned the playoffs. If Washington wins Saturday night, the Giants are eliminated anyway, so they wouldn't care if he played or not.
No, but the suspension's got to come before that.
Right.
It's got to come today.
I agree.
Hey, sorry, Odell. Take a break.
I would agree. You agree, Brady?
Yeah, I would agree. But I'm agreeing from a different standpoint. I actually was okay with the initial fighting kind of going back and forth. I understand there were some of them were cheap shots, but it was kind of going both ways.
Right. Josh Norman was not without fault.
It was
either.
The spearing with the helmet that to me was just over the top. Should have been ejected. If not, should be suspended this week and fined heavily. And if Roger Goodell doesn't do this, it would just go to show you, does anyone really care about player safety besides the players? Apparently not if he doesn't do something about this.
I agree 100%, and that's why whether he wants to or not, he will, because there's a lot at stake here in the area of safety, reputation, and believe me, in my mind, the future. You don't do this one, watch out. There'll be another big one next week, and everyone will be saying you didn't do anything to Beckham. So he's got a lot on his plate here, and the ripple effect of this deal, if he doesn't do it right, is going to be, and I don't want a memo sent to the clubs that you read to the players in a locker room and post on the bulletin board. That's a joke. You can post that he's suspended for a week and his fine's $25,000. Put that on the board.
You know where those things end up? They put them on the bulletin board, Pat, but
I know.
They end up in the urinals half the time, the trash cans, where guys end up writing stuff on them. Who knows? That's where those little bulletin board material things end up going from the league.
I think bulletin board the stuff that the league sends out, they don't pay attention to that.
Are you serious? How many of these guys?
I was being sarcastic.
I know you were.
If you think that's going to solve anything by posting a notice of warning, it's a joke. Just tell us how much you charge him and why he's not playing in potentially a playoff game. That's what this turns into.
I want to ask you guys this. Does this tarnish Beckham moving forward?
I'll never forget Stephen Smith's, and I like Steve, but that's who he did it. So will I ever forget this? Nope. It'll always be in my mind. That guy launched. He was young and immature. I'm sure he'll grow out of it, but it's going to be part of him.
Yeah, it's weird, though, because even with Steve Smith at the Baltimore Ravens, there were still instances where he'd kind of be up there starting to fight or whatever.
Yeah, he's
always kind of been edgy and kind of had a chip on his shoulder, and maybe that's how Odell Beckham Jr. will continue to be. I just hope it's not as dirty and as blatantly obvious that he's trying to, you know, hurt someone. I mean, that's the thing.
Well,
you know, I'll say this. As a player being out there in the field, as much as it is competitive, a lot of guys have a lot of respect for each other across the ball from them. They understand that they have families. They're trying to put food on the table and what it means to be able to play in the NFL. And as much as people want to buy into this idea of how much hatred they have, you know, players have towards other players.
No.
Yeah, to some degree. But in the end, there is a civilness to how players conduct themselves with one another. No one out there on the field wants to see someone get hurt, and they sure as heck don't intend to end someone's career or do something like that. That's why I think it bothered me too.
But usually something like that happens and it blows over. And after the game, it was nothing. It was just two guys. This seemed,
well, because it was so blatant. That's
but
why
it seemed
like
more.
Over.
It seemed personal almost. Like there was something.
It was
there.
Personal. It was personal, and I watched as many games as you, Pete, over our lives. I don't ever remember something as bizarre as that. Here's the only thing left that I'd like to ask Brady about, and that's retribution. There's going to be guys looking for Odell Beckham, I promise you.
There'll be guys looking for him, and there'll be guys looking to set the tone early. You know, whereas if he takes a cheap shot on someone else or he does something, you better believe, just like in hockey, where everyone's got that fighter, there's one guy on every side of the ball that's the guy to kind of set the tone, and I'll call him the enforcer if you want to call him that. I remember when I got in early on in my career, we had an offensive lineman named Ryan Tucker. And when
Ryan Tucker spoke,
no one said anything. When we were up there as rookies doing our little ordeal they'd make us do before the team meeting started, when Ryan Tucker said it was over, and you got the hell off that stage and sat down in your seat.
Yeah, well...
Pat, when you say retribution, you think other teams or if they play the?
Oh, I think there's plenty of guys around this league on defense. If nothing's done, are going to look at this as like a break for this kid? Are you kidding me? And they'll find him in a pile. They'll do something. There's a lot of tough, nasty guys in football, and you better control it. But if you don't deliver a heavy penalty, or even worse, if he tries to pull this crap again, because when I saw that little thing he did after he scored, it told me he didn't learn a damn thing. He did not understand the ramifications of what he did.
What's weird about the whole thing is there haven't been situations where he's even showed this. You know what I mean? It was almost, do you know, I mean, in the year and a half, the almost 2 years that he's been in the league, do you remember any other instance where you look back on it and you said, okay, he's pushing the envelope. He's doing something he shouldn't do. I don't remember any.
No, but I don't know. Remember, excuse my language, getting his ass kicked as much as he got kicked yesterday.
Yeah.
So the true colors came out. Is that what you're saying?
I think that it was a pressure point and the guy hit it. And that was, look, either Odell thought I'm going to roll through this league. They can't stop me. But as I said this morning in our matchup show, go watch Antonio Brown if you want to know how to handle yourself.
Yeah, I tell you what, Antonio Brown, let's get to that game. Because Antonio Brown was phenomenal against Chris Harris. And I know Chris, I'm a big Chris Harris guy. I like Chris Harris. I know Chris Harris. I think he's a hell of a football player. But all he could do after the game was come out and say, look, he got the best of me. And he actually came out and said he's the best receiver in the National Football League, Antonio Brown.
Isn't that between those two guys, Harris and Brown, the way the NFL wants it to be? Fair competition, sportsmen, play hard, go after each other with inside the rules, and at the end, the better man won. And that's what we're looking for. So the example of the best was on the same day as the example of the worst.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting to me about it being Chris Harris who said those words from playing with him? A couple things. One, he played at Kansas where they weren't overly successful, and I think he was humbled by that, even though he was a great talent coming out of college. And I think that's what leads you to that sort of, I guess, reflection after the game. When you get your tail beat, you say, hey, the other guy was better than me today, or he beat me today. He got the best of me. And that's what you do as a competitor. That's what you do when you're mature and you've been humbled. And the flip side of it, you know, this is a player I remember when he was a rookie, because I think he came in either as a late-round draft pick or free
undrafted.
Agent. Yeah, he was a free agent. Well, he made a couple plays. I can't remember where we were in preseason, but he kind of came over, sat back down on the bench. He goes, I ain't going home. Literally, I mean, he said he's like, they're not getting rid of me. And that was his attitude. That's how he's always played. Not desperate, but almost like he's always had something to prove. And that's what I love about him. And obviously, I love the way he's handled and matured throughout the course of the league, not only with his success, but being able to handle a guy like Antonio Brown beating him. But I think you make a good case for, to me, it's either Antonio Brown or DeAndre Hopkins. Because if you look at Hopkins, they got no other options, really. Jalen Strong's coming on for the Texans. But you look at who's throwing the ball to him, seems like a revolving door quarterback. And the fact that going into the game, the only person on the Texans offense you got to stop is Hopkins, right? I don't have any other concerns. If we stop Hopkins, I feel like Texans aren't going to be able to have a big game offensively.
Rank the top five receivers in the league right now, if you had to rank them. We'll go, I'll get Brady, then I'll get Pat, and then I'll give you mine.
I mean, Brown and Hopkins are right there. I've got to think Julio Jones with the stats he's put up this year. That's three. Who am I missing? It's crazy because
Beckham.
Odell Beckham's right there. He's a four. And I mean, it's sad because Calvin is the size, but he hasn't had the type of year. Jeffrey hasn't been healthy.
Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, then it'd have to be Brandon Marshall.
How about Allen Robinson? Leads the league in touchdown catches.
Yeah, but I would put Marshall over. I'd put Marshall over Robinson.
Go ahead, Pat. You.
I like everyone in your group. I mean, it's not like there's another five guys out there. It's like these are the guys, and I respect that whole list. But I'm always admiring of guys that probably were on the list back in the day, fell off the list over age, and all of a sudden you got to say they're back on the list or they're close to it, like Larry Fitz. I got to give him some respect here. That guy, it's amazing. None of us are going to mention A.J. Green on the list. Demarius has had some drops, so that's interesting to me. Brandon Marshall, I'd put him on it. You know, he doesn't get away from anybody, but he's pretty damn good. So I like the list a lot. I don't think we missed on anybody.
Yeah, I don't think we did either. But Allen Robinson quietly has had a much better season than I think anybody expected. He leads the league. I can't believe I saw this the other day. He leads the league in touchdown catches. I mean,
because they're always coming back in garbage time from games because their defense can't stop anyone.
The defense is terrible.
A disappointing loss for your Jacksonville Jaguars.
They're not my Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't care who wins or loses in any of the games unless they benefit my picks. Because you know, it's all about me.
Or unless there are two games in a row on the road.
Right, it's all about my picks. 13-2 against the spread this week. Just to let everybody know that.
Terrific. Well, that is impressive, my friend.
Yeah, it's about damn time, by the way. But so you would, if you had the choice as a GM, Pat,
Brown is one.
Okay, you would take Brown. So you could start your team with any receiver in the league. You take Brown.
Yeah. No, and I wouldn't even hesitate. He'd be the first one.
You know,
I get the chance to go to most camps. I watch most guys work for 2 days at every place. Nobody, literally nobody, works like Antonio Brown.
It's crazy to me, too, how versatile he is. I mean, you look at DeAndre Hopkins. He's kind of split outside. They move around a little bit. But Brown, you know, they'll mix in some carries for him. I think he's got a couple passes as well as a wide receiver. Like, you could do a bunch of different things with him. He's not just kind of your typical outside wide receiver. You put him out there, he's trying to get him singled up. Or even if they double him, trying to give him a couple double move routes or something versus bracket coverage. You know, they could put him in the slot. You could, you know, do whatever you want with him. He just presents so many issues. So that's why I like him, because his
you
versatility.
You take Brown too?
Yeah, I would.
See, I take Beckham.
Okay.
I just think he's the more physical. He's bigger.
You can't even touch Brown. That's the thing. Off the ball, you can't even touch him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's close. Well, believe me, it's really close, but I take Beckham.
And, well,
what if Dez Bryant was healthy?
I'll get inside your head here, Pete.
Yeah.
That route that Beckham dropped yesterday, does Antonio drop that goal? He only has two drops all year. Does Antonio drop the ball that Beckham dropped? We're trying to split hairs here for the number one guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. I think Brown's fantastic. But I probably lean more toward the bigger, more physical guy than Antonio Brown. That's just me. And it's tight, man. It's tight. And you couldn't go wrong with any of those guys. Let's be honest about it. You can't go wrong with any.
I got a question for the two of you. I asked this to Boomer Esiason and Billy Cowher yesterday. I'll ask you guys. How many teams are really, in your minds, good enough to win the Super Bowl this year? Forget all who's in the playoffs. Who's good enough to win the Super Bowl?
I would say there's probably six teams.
Name them.
Let's start with the NFC. Panthers, obviously.
Would agree with you.
Cardinals.
Would agree with you.
I have a hard time not including
Seattle.
Seattle, obviously. Because
I would agree
there,
with
but
you.
Also Green Bay.
Four. That's
okay.
Four.
And let's go to the AFC. Patriots, obviously.
One.
And I feel weird saying this. I would pick the Steelers over the Bengals. One, because there's a little bit of indecision with Dalton and whether or not he'll be healthy and all that. But two, I've seen Big Ben do it twice. So I feel more confident saying them or even the Broncos, even as good as their defense has been, because Manning struggled in the postseason. So I feel like the Steelers, because they're playing so hot right now, maybe they're the team that I believe in.
Me, I would take the four you said in the NFC. I would take New England. The way they're composed right now, I would put the Bengals if Dalton was playing, but the way they're composed right now, I don't know if they can win there. But so I'd probably put New England and maybe Denver. That's it. Pat?
I only have five. New England and Pittsburgh, Carolina, Seattle, and Arizona. I do not have Green Bay. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl.
You know, my concern.
Why?
I don't like their defense. And the receivers don't, there's no big play guy. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is making a lot happen with a lot of mediocrity and non-separators and everything else. The other teams have at least one, and some of them three, dynamic receivers, big play guys, defy the X's and O's. Who on the Packers defies the X's and O's?
That's a good point. You know, one team that I included, and I truly believe they will, and we talked about this during our previews, is the Seattle Seahawks. When you look at the win streak they're on right now, was it six games? And you look at – or five.
Five.
Five. You look at who they've beaten, and, you know, Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin have been on fire. But you look at who they've beaten. They haven't really played that tough of competition. And even their four losses, they kind of lost the teams that you thought they should lose to in Arizona and – Denver. So you look at their schedule. All of a sudden, you're saying, "Well, who have they really beaten? Who really justifies them as being truly Super Bowl bound, Super Bowl ready?" And I'm kind of saying, "All right, well, they lost to the Rams to begin the year, so that's who they played this week. I feel like they got to beat them handily."
Yeah, but
we
still won't know. Here's why we won't know.
They play Arizona the last game.
Yeah, but
of the
that might, game might not mean anything. Might both be shutting it down.
It might, but it might not.
Right, but okay. So we might not know about Seattle until they actually line up and play in the playoffs. Because, okay, and you brought up the schedule.
The way it stands now is they're going to land up as the five seed
and play the East.
To go to the Redskins,
right? They're better than the Redskins.
So yeah. That's why I don't think they find out versus the Redskins. I think you
find out week two of the playoffs, in divisional
round.
Week
two, or if week 17 matters, both teams put out their best versus Arizona.
But let's just say, for the sake of the argument, week 17 doesn't matter. This is their final seven.
For the sake of your argument.
Okay, then they played. But I'm proving to your point where you said they beat San Francisco at home. They beat the Steelers at home. The Steelers are good, but, I mean, they gave up a ton of points. They beat them at home. Then they beat the Vikings? Pat,
without four defensive starters,
then they beat Baltimore, who's terrible on the road, and then they beat Cleveland, who's bad. So then this week they play the Rams, who are not very good, and then they play the game. The last game of the season might not mean anything, and then they play at Washington in the playoffs. We might not know how good Seattle is until, like Brady said, until the divisional round.
And look at their losses. They lost to Carolina, right? Close game, but lost to Carolina.
At home.
To Cincinnati.
Lost to Cincinnati on the road.
They lost to Carolina. They're going to land up after they whip Washington or whoever that NFC East team is. They're going to land up playing Carolina or Arizona, two teams they've already played. Brady, the NFL question that happens every year, it's tough to beat someone twice.
It is. It's tough to beat someone twice. That's why you see a lot of splits in divisional play and also home field versus playing on the road. In the NFL, it matters so much more, and I can't really put anything to or make any sense of it. When you see why that is, because in college, it's like almost, I think it's harder environments to go up against. In college, you get 100,000 people. It's louder. It's crazier when you have to go on the road. But you'll see all the time some of the best teams, they don't really struggle that bad on the road. But in the NFL, it is tough to go on the road and get wins. And I can't really put anything to it why there's a change between college and NFL. Maybe you guys can.
Well, because the level of competition is so close. I mean, in college, the level of competition isn't always close.
You could make that case, but wouldn't you say then that the college environment would be greater?
Yeah, but if the team is that, like if Alabama plays the SEC and they're on the road, they're better than most of the SEC teams when they go on the road. In the NFL, yeah, there's better teams, but if something goes wrong, one play, and there's.
You could make a case like Alabama LSU this year. There's matchups you can still make a case.
I don't know. I think it's tough to win in the road in the NFL. Okay, let's play out the playoffs if they started right now as is, okay? Well, and I know Brady's got to get out of here pretty soon, but. We'll play the NFC first. So it would be the two byes would be Carolina as the one seed, Arizona as the two seed. So the first round of the playoffs would be 6 seed Minnesota at 3 seed Green Bay and 5 seed Seattle at Washington. So pick the games, Pat, and we'll start with you and then we'll play them through.
Yes, no brainer. Seattle wins. Minnesota, by the way, would have to play in Green Bay back to back weeks, right? End the regular season.
Right.
I'll take Green Bay at home. So
okay,
Green
so you got the so that means Seattle. So that means the 5 seed would be the 5 seed would be Seattle. They would go to Carolina, and Green Bay would go to Arizona, which they're playing them this week, by the way, which is interesting. Pick those games.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle over Carolina.
Wow, there's a shock.
And then I'll take Arizona over Green Bay.
Okay. And then so the
NFC West final.
And the championship game will be Seattle at Arizona. Who wins?
Arizona.
Wow, Pat's got Arizona Cardinals in the Super Bowl. Go ahead, Brady. You play that, the NFC.
You know, I don't know if mine plays out much different.
I don't know if mine plays out much different either.
I mean, I think I would have this. I would have Carolina playing Arizona in the NFC championship game. I feel like I just got to see Carolina lose before I'd ever want to knock them out because no one's made them play any other style of football. Like I always feel like they're either ahead or they're within striking distance where nothing ever changes for them offensively.
So you think if Arizona plays them, they might make them play differently.
Exactly. Because of what they have on the outside of wide receiver and because of last week's game against the Philadelphia Eagles. John Brown dropping balls, dropping wide open deep balls, yet they just keep doing it. Like they're like, we're not going to give up on it. We're just going to keep throwing time and time and time again. And I'm sitting there going, this is awesome. I mean,
I love it.
That's how confident Bruce Arians is.
I've loved some of the great offenses in my mind, in my history. The ones I love to watch were Eric Curiel, Dan Marino, offense, run and shoot, Houston Oilers, K-Gun.
Here's where you know it's not just Carson Palmer. He hits his finger, right, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, goes out for a play. Drew Stanton comes in. He takes a shot. The very first play he gets in, he takes a shot. And I'm going, it's got to be a Bruce Arians because he's coaching these guys to want to do it.
So you have Arizona beating Carolina in the championship game.
Yeah.
All right, I play it out. I have Seattle winning at Washington. I have Green Bay winning at home. I have Arizona beating Green Bay. I have Carolina beating Seattle and then Arizona beating Carolina on the road in the championship game. So that's the NFC. Let's go through the AFC. The AFC right now, as is, would be the 1 seed would be New England by the 2 seed right now would be
Cincinnati.
So the 3 seed would be Denver. The 4 seed would be Houston. The 5 seed would be
Kansas City.
And the 6 seed would be
Steelers.
Pittsburgh.
Jets,
it would be.
No, Pittsburgh.
Well, but the Jets are in that spot even though the Steelers own the tiebreaker.
But Pittsburgh's in the spot. We'll put Pittsburgh in the spot. All right,
So
Pittsburgh would be the 6th to go play the 3, which would be Denver right now.
Yeah.
And which would be a hell of a game right out of the gate. And the 5 would be 5-4.
Kansas City would play Houston.
Who they beat that daylights out of in week 1, remember? Mm-hmm. So pick it out. Play it out, Pat.
I got Kansas City beating Houston. Not too much of a believer in that. And it's the same as I see the NFC East out. And then Pittsburgh will beat Denver. Denver is going to still be playing with Osweiler, to my knowledge. And now, I will say this. The one caveat is this week, I think Denver beats Cincinnati and gets to the two seed. So now Pitt would be going to Cincinnati.
Yeah, Pitt.
That's how much is on the line for the Bengals this week when they go to Denver.
Right. So if you're, let's just say, but we'll keep it where they are right now. Fair enough.
Pittsburgh's going to, in my mind, Pittsburgh's winning the opening round.
So they beat Denver. They beat Denver in this scenario.
Yep.
And so you have Pittsburgh.
Pitt would then go play the Patriots.
Pittsburgh go play the Patriots, and Cincinnati would play Kansas City.
Right.
Who makes it to the championship game in that scenario?
I'll never bet against Brady at home. It's a pretty simple rule.
I agree. And then who wins the Cincinnati-Kansas City game?
Cincinnati.
So Cincinnati would then go to New England.
Now, hold on. If it's A.J. McCarron, I don't know that I feel that way. That's the whole thing.
Right. Okay, but Cincinnati would go to New England.
You
got New England back in the Super Bowl then?
Yes.
Okay.
Against Arizona.
Right. Go ahead, Brady. Play it out.
I got the final result with New England playing again in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, it all comes down to quarterbacks, like who's playing in which spots. I for whatever reason, could see if Hoyer comes back. I don't know why. I could see Houston somehow pulling out a win against Kansas City. I can't tell you why. So maybe Houston or Kansas City gets out of that first. I think Houston gets out of that first round.
So then they would go to – they would be the four seed and go to the three seed.
Yeah. I also see if it's Osweiler –
I mean the two seed.
If it's Osweiler, I see Pittsburgh beating Denver. And then as far as how that would play out, again, it all depends on who's quarterback for Cincinnati. If it's McCarron, then I don't see that happening. I mean, I literally think you could see Houston or KC, however that works out.
They're not that good, though. Neither one of those teams are that good. Maybe you could see Houston already went into Cincinnati and beat him with Dalton, though. Who's their quarterback, though? Who's going to be Houston's quarterback? Is Hoyer going to come back?
There's a real problem in the AFC with quarterbacks, but let's start with this. Do you guys see what I think I see is Denver's going to beat Cincinnati this week at home?
I think that's very possible.
Right, I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think Denver wins this week, and if Denver
that
wins,
changes everything.
Right, that makes Cincinnati the three seed, and they would play the six.
Let me pose this though, and I'm curious to get your guys' take. Doesn't this kind of then make sense to change the way they do the playoffs as far as re-ranking based on overall record,
yes,
and not giving a team like Houston home field? I know everyone puts a lot of onus on division. But I feel like we're kind of giving an easy pass to Houston because they win their division, even though it's a weak division. Now, all of a sudden, they get home field advantage for the first game, and they might have a little bit easier matchup.
Yeah, but what's the point of having divisions if you're not going to reward somebody for having a division?
Here's what I say. The reward, and this is to Brady's point, the reward for the division is you got in the playoffs, even if you're 7-9. We're going to leave the Jets out of this, and they're going to be 11-5, and they'll be out. But, you know, the Texans will be in there with 7, 8, 9, whatever it is.
It's cyclical.
It's a double reward, though. I'm with restacking because
– like the NBA does. Yeah.
You automatically made the playoffs, but I'm not giving you a home game, too, with a crappy record like that.
Yeah, and that's all I'm trying to get to. Maybe it's an example that they're put in play when a team is at 500 or worse, where you all of a sudden then do like a re-rack. But
the Texans win the division, they're probably going to be 9-7 anyways.
But here's the problem is you've got an 11-5 Jets team that I just watched this past week and I watched a bunch of film on, and I'm looking at them saying, I actually trust the New York Jets. And I know you're going to say I'm nuts because it's Ryan Fitzpatrick and all that. I trust that team over the Houston Texans for one.
No, I agree with you.
But also Kansas City, and I'll even say the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the reason why I'm going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers is because I don't believe in their defense. I look at the New York Jets and I say, that is a front that can wreak havoc. They have the cornerbacks that can cover down. They can run the football with Chris Ivory very well, as well as Ridley, as well as Bilal Powell.
I get it.
They have. So I'm just saying, to all of a sudden have to go into a sudden death scenario in the playoffs, the Jets would scare me a little bit because of everything they present. And everyone keeps waiting for Ryan Fitzpatrick to have this game where he does three turnovers, blah, blah. It hasn't happened.
No, he's playing great.
And it may not happen.
I'm a critic of it. He's playing really – I watched him on tape.
And he knows Shane Gailey's system.
You wouldn't pick the Jets over the Steelers on a neutral field.
I don't have to pick the Jets over the Steelers.
But you said they might.
I think they match up versus the teams that they would have to be going into the playoffs better than the Pittsburgh Steelers do. You're giving the benefit of the doubt to the Steelers because it's Big Ben and because of their offense, not because of their defense.
I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to what Pat told us earlier about what the former Steelers coach said about the quarterback. And
I think it's the other way around.
I disagree. I think it's the quarterback. It's a quarterback league. What do I always say in here? You said I'm trying to make it a phrase. What is it? Passers and pass rushers.
I never say that, actually, to that phrase. You said that today for the first time.
No, I say it all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't listen to them.
You don't pay attention. You block me out.
I can't pay attention to everything you say.
You block me out. That's why you're being mean to me. Tell him Patty's being mean to me again.
Brady, you're young at the Pete Prisco game. Bring a tape recorder because you're going to need it.
Why is that?
Because you're going to have to prove what he says all the time.
No, I say it and I back it up. I'm one of those guys. I will always say when I'm wrong. Always. No, I will say when I'm wrong.
You've been apologizing all the last 2 weeks. Has been great. But, Brady, you're a quarterback. And you know, look, there's so many teams that are vulnerable. Cincinnati without their quarterback, I don't know what they're really going to do. Osweiler, don't know what they're going to do. Hoyer, don't know what he could ever really do. Alex Smith, not really. I mean, go right down the list. When it's all said and done, there's an elite quarterback in New England. There's an elite quarterback in Pittsburgh. There's two. Then you go over to the other side that you know we're going to play, barring a new injury. There's an elite quarterback in Carolina and one in Arizona, one in Green Bay, and in my opinion, one in Seattle.
Okay, but here's the deal. There's a saying, too, right? The whole defense wins championships.
That's moving out the window.
And you're saying it's moving out the window, but the only thing I'm going to say is when you pit these great quarterbacks against one another, what's going to be the determining factor? Which one plays better or which defense steps up?
That's the point.
Who's the better quarterback usually ends up being the deciding factor.
It's going to come down to which defense.
By the way, I would say there's an elite quarterback. You know, we get caught up in elite quarterbacks, but
a stupid term.
It really is. I the best quarterbacks, the guys that you can lean on are Brady and Roethlisberger in the AFC. And in the NFC, it's Rodgers and Palmer
and Wilson.
Cam Newton and Russell Wilson's getting there. I'll say that.
He's already won a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl with defense.
It doesn't matter.
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. The way he's playing now, the way Russell Wilson's playing now is significantly better than the way he played when he won the Super Bowl.
The past 5 weeks has been the MVP of the league.
Hold on. Now, exactly.
Cam Newton is.
Now, I know we've decided the word elite stupid, but one time, put him in the, whatever you want to call the group, Russell Wilson's in the group now.
I can't put him in that group yet.
It's unbelievable, Pete.
I can't put him in that group yet.
Cam Newton's never been to a Super Bowl. You're already giving him that.
Quarterback wins is not a quarterback stat. Stop it.
Then no stats should be considered quarterback stats. Because last time I checked, when you throw a football, you have to have a wide receiver to complete it and offensive line to block for you.
It's not a quarterback stat.
No, that's the most ridiculous thing is trying to use some stats as quarterback stats.
If Cam Newton was the quarterback in the Seattle Seahawks the 2 years that Russell Wilson won, would they have won the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Because we're playing hypothetical. Well, okay. I don't live in the Pete Prisco world of hypotheticals.
Yes, he would have.
No, we don't.
Yes, he would have. Yes, he would have. Dan Marino hasn't won a Super Bowl. What's that matter?
I guess he wasn't on a great team, but that's why.
But he was a great player.
No doubt. No doubt.
Hold on.
Is Russell Wilson a better player now than he was when he won the Super Bowl?
Well, he was very good when they won the Super Bowl.
But, Pat, is he a better player now than when he won the Super Bowl?
He's an elite player now.
He's consistently better now than he was
then. By the way, your boy Cam Newton, who I love, I might vote for him for the MVP, but he's had a really good defense too, brother.
I agree.
He has not been playing with a crappy defense.
I agree.
Can I say this too? Doesn't he play in a little bit weaker division, too, in the NFC South compared to the NFC West?
Well, the NFC West has two crappy teams in it. Let's not
they
get carried
now,
away
not,
with it.
They do now. Not when he was winning Super Bowls.
No.
Not when the Seattle Seahawks had to go up against San Francisco.
They had to knock the San Francisco 49ers out of the Super Bowl perch they were in.
Right. And they didn't have a quarterback either. That was a whole other story. But, I mean, look, Russell Wilson's playing elite football right now. You cannot take that away from him. He is. But it takes more than that. Five games to call him elite. I won't call Cam Newton elite either, by the way. Elite is Rodgers and Brady and Roethlisberger and Peyton Manning in his heyday, Drew Brees in his heyday, the guys who did it sustainably year in and year out. Those are the elite guys. I'm not going to call these guys that do it in a short period of time elite. They have to do it longer than just five games or 1 year or whatever. If Russell Wilson plays this way all the way through the postseason and they win the Super Bowl, I'll be the first guy after the game to walk down, shake his hand, and say, Russell Wilson, I was wrong about you. You are an elite quarterback in the National Football.
May I read one sentence to you that just came in from someone who was doing – this guy, he obviously is not listening to us, but he just sent this to me. Pat, Russell Wilson – has 23 games in his career with multiple passing touchdowns without being intercepted. That is the most such games by any player in the first 4 years of his career in the AFL, NFL, since the merger, before the merger, ever. 23 games, multiple touchdowns, no interceptions. First guy to ever do it. But no, we got to get him in that B-minus class.
He's not B-minus. He's A, and he's playing A++ football right now. And I said, if he goes all the way through, he will be the guy. All right, Brady's got to run out of here. He's got
to
do something.
Hey, guys, have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Today. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. And you know what? I love this time of the year. And football arguments with you guys are one of the best presents anybody could ever get.
You have your feet.
See you guys.